Father, we worship you again in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that has inhabited the things of your people. Lord, so busy are you, Lord, watching all over the universes, Lord, infinite as they are. Yes, you seem to be the cherubim and you control all things, microscopic and macroscopic. Lord, it's you are everywhere. Bible says, in him does all things consist. Lord, we worship you, Lord. Oh, nothing passes his eyes are upon the sparrow. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. You know our dancing things and our uprisings. Lord, we worship and adore you. And you are ever mindful of us. Bible says your thoughts towards us, more than the sand by the seashore. And yet they are all sort of peace, never of evil, to give us an expected end. So we thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we read the Bible tonight, Lord, your word, Lord, give a blessing in the reading thereof.
Amen.
Father, we ask you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Tonight, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mount of God. The mount, kind of a strange subject, isn't it? The mount of God. Call it the mountain of God, right? Well, a notable figure in the Bible, which we always like, is Elijah. So we see him fleeing from Jezebel. And fleeing from Jezebel was completely out of character, of the spirit of Elijah, that he can flee for a person. Person who has slew 450 prophets of Baal and so on, now running from a woman, kind of out of character with the spirit of that man. But it happened, and the law properly permitted it to prevent us, all people to come, from committing the error of supposing that Elijah was something more than a human. Maybe that's why the law, allowed to be like that for him and so on. People who read the story of Elijah often lose sight of the fact that the scripture says in the book of James 5:17 that Elias was a man subject to a like passion as we are. So just a lot of things happen in this life and people often overlook that, where somehow people have an idea that he was sort of a superman, a man made out of a different kind of material than that of ordinary people. So this, of course, is an error, isn't it? Elijah made mistakes. Amen? Praise the Lord. He was human. He made mistakes and he had to learn by what he suffered, as any other person, One time, oh Lord, we get to it. Oh Lord, they have killed your prophets and so on. I only am left, right? What's wrong? God said you are wrong. Praise God. Anyway, so made mistakes when he was growing up, from what we know in the Bible, recording and historical records in the Bible especially and so on, he was growing up at the time of Asa, the king of Judah. That's when he was growing up. As we all know in Bible, Asa is the great grandson of David. And here is the lineage. We know that David begat Solomon, right? And Solomon begat Rehoboam. Under Rehoboam, the kingdom was tied into two, right? The 10 other kingdoms and the 2 southern kingdoms, right? Judah and then Israel, right? So under Rehoboam. For Rehoboam, begat Abijam. Abijam begat Asa. That's how it went. So it's time of Asa that Elijah was growing up, when we look at the Bible critically and of course not too far away from the time of David. So the exploits of David was still fresh in people's mind at that time when Elijah was growing up, even though it was like four kings apart and Elijah was growing up at that time. So the exploits of David was still fresh in the mind. So they still remember the song of the women, so that skip is 1,000 and David 10,000. Maybe about all the kind of things and so on, and all the exploits of David, I think so. So not only that, Asa was the one that was ruling Judah when Elijah was growing up. He himself did a lot of exploits and so on. For example, we know that by the hand of the Lord, he defeated the Ethiopians, by the hand of the Lord. 2 Chronicles the 14th chapter. So verse 12 says, so the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Israel and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So when Elijah was going up, this thing happened, right? 2 Chronicles, that's 14:12, right? So that's when Elijah was going up. And but in that time, going forward now, you know, there was Elijah witnessed, you know, the sad spectacle of a steady spiritual decline, both in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. From that time onward, there was a great decline, I believe. And he was so zealous and so on, but I mean, he could have been asking like David, David pray and things like that, you know, where are the experts and so on, that our fathers have told us about and so on. Maybe this kind of a zeal drove into the wilderness to become a wilderness man, probably. He was zealous, you know, for the kingdom of God and so on, that, you know, both out of Judah and out of Israel. Maybe that drove him to be a wilderness man, you know, we don't even know where his father, his mother, you know, where he came from. All we know in the 17th chapter of the first king, Elijah the Tishbite. We just came out of nowhere, out of the woods, right? So he was zealous for the, you know, for the kingdom of God and so on. So anyway, and coming at that zeal, the great vision of his soul was realized, as we all know, in the victory of Mount Carmel, which we can't go into right now. We all know that story very well. And it was in that spirit. it was so exaltation of that spirit, after the Machiavelli showdown, that he outran the chariot of Ahab to Jezreel. Can you imagine? You know, he was so enthused, he was so happy and so on, elevated and so on. Outran the chariot of Ahab and things like that, you know, bringing the rain and things like that, you know. Anyway, that, you know, outburst of joy was short-lived, only to hear the next day that, it thought that Ahab will continue the restoration work, right? That he started, you know. He thought so, you know. That hope was dashed the very next day when he had the bad news that, hey, man, see, that, Jezebel was on the war path against you. He had a great price upon your head, you know. So that's where the man of God, Bible says, he fled for his life, right? So, and, he fled for his life. So, and, you know, so... Never, so, but he had gonna give a great experience. He was to learn a lesson the hard way, but it was a lesson he would never ever forget. What lesson was it? Never again, will his voice be disturbed anymore, and never again, when he got to read this lesson, and so again, did his faith waver anymore when he got to read this lesson. All this will result from a new experience he was to receive at Horeb, the mount of God. That was actually the mount of God is my subject tonight, the mount of God. This lesson where Elijah will never waver in his faith anymore, where he never flee for anybody or panic for anybody, he got, you know, the experience he got from Horeb, the mount of God. So tonight, the mount of God. The scriptures indicated that there might be an occasion in which Elijah and so on like that, was bodily transported. We know that two times, we know. Obadiah, when the Lord said, go and show yourself to Ahab, he met Obadiah on the way. Go tell Ahab that Elijah is here, you know. And me, what have I done that you should let this man take off my head? Don't you know that this Ahab has been looking for you all over the country and had a country? You know, don't you know, if I won't have, you know, I've eaten, you know, in the God's prophets, you know, in the case and so on, you know, with bread and so on. Anyway, if I go and tell Ahab now, before I come back, God's spirit will just take you, and I will not find you anymore. Then he will kill me, you know. So why is he saying that? Because they know that there will be a report that Elijah has been transported, you know, from time to time and so on. Even the sons of the prophet too, you know. And, when they were told that Elijah has been translated, no, maybe God's spirit too came and cast upon one mountain somewhere, you know. So they know all that time that this thing happened to Elijah, you know, having a bodily transportation at that time, you know. But when they ran, this was supernatural, right? But when they ran away from Jezebel, there was nothing supernatural in that, right? You know, so just like fearful things and so on. I don't know why the Lord allowed it to show that Elijah was a man, you know, like just like any other person, so that we like person as we are. So anyway, so far so good and so on. Now, the thing is this. As powerful as that prophet was, God never helped any man running away from a problem that he ought to face. No matter who you are. See, God never helped anybody, you know, to run away from a problem that he ought to face. We know Jonah. When Jonah fled from the Lord, right? He had to pay his own fear, right? He paid his fear, because he ran away from the Lord. And eventually, he wound up, you know, his adventure in the belly of a whale. Jonah 1:3, we know that one. And so on. So even Elijah himself too, he had to face his problem again, one time or the other. So the journey of Elijah when he fled from Jezebel was an unhappy one, just like Jonah's, right, in a way. When you're running from God, not a happy trip at all. Never be, you know. And the further he went, the more discouraged Elijah became. And the more he was confused. We all know that story, I'm just paraphrasing right now. A fugitive from Jezebel's law, he retreated deeper and deeper into the wilderness, And at last, he got to the end of his flight. Samaria now was far, far away from him. It was now what they call Beersheba. You know, all this in 1 Kings 19, I'm paraphrasing this one. At last, he came to Samaria and so on, far, far behind him. And, it was a full day's journey, the Bible said, from the nearest outpost of civilization where he was now, a full day's journey, And there was nothing to disturb him at that point anymore, except his own reflection of what is going on around him and so on. Fleeing from a woman, so that, he was emotionally disturbed and so on. And on that day, Elijah was a most unhappy and miserable man, that day, from what you can tell. And his servant, that servant that he had at that time, is a fair weather man, a fair weather friend, and deserted him at Beersheba. And now Elijah was left alone. I know my subject, I say the man of God, right? So anyway, in 1 Kings 19, verse 4, but he himself, the fair weather servant, has deserted him right there, and in 1 Kings 19:4, but he himself, in Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and come and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die, and said, it is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, he said, for I am not better than my fathers. Here was the man that God had planned, to take to heaven in the shadows of fire, yet, he wished that he should die. Can you see what happened to that man right there, So, that was one of the one prayer that we know of, the only prayer we know of that God ever answered for Elijah, that he should die. God even answered that prayer for him, God has a plan for him, right? And so, as far as you can see right there, destiny had a redeemed force with this man called Elijah, so though he little knew anything about it and so on that, So anyway, so just paraphrasing the story about him praying for a woman and so on. So what happened to him? God let Elijah go through a valley experience, if you want to call it a valley experience, And the spirit of Elijah was wounded, but wasn't broken. Bible says we are cast down, we're not destroyed, right? Everybody goes through this thing, wasn't it? Why, right? So anyway, he needed a time of rest anyway, and a time to compose himself together again. It wasn't the real Elijah that said, let me now die. No, that wasn't the real Elijah. It was under stress and duress, right? Under stress. That wasn't the spirit of Elijah, not at all, So anyway, even then, the Lord, when he said those things, contrary to the plan of God for him, the Lord did not charge him at all. He didn't rebuke him. The Lord let him sleep after a while. And then sent an angel to wake him up. When the angel appeared to him, Elijah was not disturbed. He'd been close enough to God not to be perturbed when his supernatural being appeared. Praise God. He was a wilderness man. We know what he has seen. At the beginning of his journey, in fact, when he declared the drought, as soon as that, at the brook Cherry, God said, I have appointed the ravens to feed you there, supernaturally, right? Go and hide yourself in the brook Cherry. Bible says in 1 Kings, So anyway, so he's used to the supernatural, beings appear to him, and he wasn't disturbed. So, so before we know it, and the Lord, told him in 1 Kings 19:5, and as he lay down and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. So we see right there that while he was going through all those things in his mind, he saw that God had thought enough of him to send an angel, like I was praying the other day, 2 minutes ago, God has thought to us all, thought of peace, right? Never of evil, to give us an expectant end, right? He now said that God has, enough thought of him to send him an angel to kindle a fire in the wilderness and to take a cake, and to bake a cake for him, and a cruse of water, fire in the wilderness. Where did he get water from? Supernatural supply, right? So that's what God is doing for his people. In these last days, Elijah seen the light of God, the church of the last day we are living right now, we can expect, according to the scriptures, an increase in angelic ministration. Praise the Lord. That is the record of the scriptures, and we can get a few of them. Hebrews 1:14 told us that. Are they not, talking about angels, right? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them which are the heirs of salvation? When we know these things and we are aware of them, so Elijah, before we know it, we feel like Elijah will be accustomed to the heavenly beings coming and going and so on, angels and so on, that as we near the translation of the Lord. The same book of Hebrews in 13:2 even admonish us. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. If it happened before the church age, what will stop it to happen near the coming of the Lord? Nothing. There should even be more ubiquitous of these things and so on. Anyway, even in the book of the Old Testament, David, by divine inspiration, told in Psalm 34, verse 7, I'm reading this one because I'm saying that by the word of the Lord, there have been more appearing of angels and so forth in these last days as we near the coming of the Lord. Psalm 34, verse 7 says, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Even so, the psalm that was written, notably, particularly for the end of time, Psalm 91 is most relevant. Well, it's relevant in all ages, but even more relevant in the days we are living in. In the 94th Psalm, verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Like we said, when Bible talking about 1,000 falling at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, talking of atomic holocaust too, as possible too. Those Jews will be protected in the time of the great tribulation. So we know all those things and so on. Anything can happen before that too, It can be a blast there tonight. I mean, there is one here not too far away from here where we know Palovadi and so on. So all of those things now, this thing we are waiting for, for us to have faith, praise God, for the time you and I are living in, So anyway, let's go back to our story about the man of God. Then Elijah was instructed that there was a long journey ahead of him. He was to go toward the south for measurement, from the geography of the place, for a distance of about 200 miles. That's just by geographical measurement today, about 200 miles south. There the Lord will meet him, at Horeb, the mount of God. That's my story, the mount of God, right? In 1 Kings 19:8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. Well, Horeb is also called Sinai, right? Horeb or Sinai, talking about the mount of God, right? Was the mountain where the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush. See, the mount of God, right? This is what happened in there, In Exodus 3:1, Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God. You see, even to Horeb. What happened in there? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. All that took place at the mount of God, called Horeb. Now, even more about Moses, I think he had encampment at the mount of God, you know. There at Mount Horeb, the mount of God, Moses became the deliverer of Israel. Because in Exodus chapter 4, I read the 27th verse, the Lord commissioned him that chapter, right? Go back to Egypt and go and deliver your people and so on. What's in your hand, Moses, the rod and so on, go and deliver your people and everything like that. Oh, Lord, begin to complain. I'm not eloquent. Oh, Lord, silly excuses. Oh, Lord, I'm slow in speech. Oh, Lord, don't you know that I'm slow in tongue? The Lord rebuked him. Who made this man and his mouth? The Lord said. And who made the dumb and the deaf and the blind? Isn't it I that make them? Oh, you see the one continue to argue with the Lord. The Lord said, okay, you know what? I will deal with your mouth. Isn't Aaron your brother? He's a good speaker. He's an orator, right? You just go. You know what? No, just go there. And so God commissioned him there. That's in that chapter 4. I think that And that's in verse 27. And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And where are they going to meet now? Where are they going to meet? The mount of God. See? Go into the wilderness to meet Aaron. And he went and met him in the mount of God. And kissed him, right? That happened as the Lord stood. I skipped so many verses, right? So we're talking about the mount of God, right? Right there where Aaron come out. God spoke to Aaron, right? As where did they meet? At the mount of God called Horeb. So even more about that. There at the mount of God, Moses encamped when he saw, from what we know from the Bible, not explicitly spoken, there came a time when Moses had to send Zipporah and his two boys back to Midian to go and meet his father. I don't know what happened between them. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So he had to send her back, and he kept them for a long time. So now, after the conquest in Egypt, and they have crossed over and everything like that, so the father-in-law heard that what great exploits God has done for the children of Israel. So he had to now take Moses' wife and the two boys to go meet Moses. Guess where they meet? Let's go to Exodus 18, verse 5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons, meaning the sons of David, right? Sons of Moses and his wife, unto Moses into the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. See, that's where he met him, the mount of God. It's always encamping there, right? So many events happened there. Not even one more time by this Moses and so on. There, at the mount of God, God gave Moses the law and the Ten Commandments. 24th Exodus, by the 13th verse. So of course, and Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. See? So that's where, God gave him all those tablets and things like that, Now, in going forward, there is a remarkable parallel between the lives of Moses and Elijah, isn't it? Even so far, this mount of God, that's a remarkable, the two most powerful prophets in all of the Old Testament, parallel between them and so on, and they're speaking a volume of story, as we know about them and so on. So, let's see some of the parallel between Moses and Elijah, Their experiences and ministry have many remarkable similarities. First of all, centuries later, these two will appear as witnesses at another mountain. This time, the Mount of Transfiguration. We all know that story is in Mark chapter 9 and 13. Mark chapter 9 and Matthew 17 now. At the Mount of Transfiguration, they were met there, these two of them. Similarities between these two prophets and so on, So there at Mount Horeb, both Moses and Elijah abstained from food 40 days. in connection with our ministry of Moses, we are told in 24th of Exodus by 18, and Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up, you see, into the mount, and Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. You know, and of course, we talked about Elijah before, 1 Kings 19:8, and he arose and did eat and drink and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. There are many other similarities between them. There at Horeb, the mount of God, when the Lord appeared to Moses at the giving of the law, there was a fire, there was an earthquake, and the voice of God speaking, as well as other supernatural phenomena, right there at the mount of God, Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, right? So the same place, like similarity, right? In the same place, there at the Horeb, the mount of God, when God appeared to Elijah too, like we said before, there was a fire, an earthquake, and the voice of God. You see, similarity between of them, the two most powerful prophets of the Old Testament, right? Where, though those two are similar, there was a difference between those experiences and so on. There was, however, this notable experience. In Moses' time, when the Lord appeared as, and so on, God was in the fire, and God was in the earthquake, right? And he spoke with a loud voice that all Israel could hear him. But when God appeared to Elijah this time and so on, he was not in the earthquake. He wasn't in the mighty wind. I'm just paraphrasing a little verses now. He spoke in still small voice, right? You know, so there was the earthquake, that is the voice and so on, but it was a still small voice. 1 Kings 19:11-12, without us going to read it. How do we explain that? This is simple. Israel, you know, has asked for the law, right? But Elijah lived in God's presence, you know? So anyway, so we saw that. So, and Moses was a great intercessor. I mean, similarity between the ministry, right? Great intercessor whose prayer saved Israel from annihilation. That's the 32nd of Exodus, or the first 14 verses of 32nd of Exodus says this. So was Elijah, you know, prayer and faith at Mount Carmel. Turn the heart of Israel back from there to God, right? That is 1 Kings 18. You know that? Another thing is this. Moses did not complete his ministry, right? It was taken over by Joshua, right? Another similarity. What about Elijah? Likewise, Elijah didn't complete his ministry. Elijah's ministry was carried on after he was gone by another one, Elisha the prophet, right? Look at the similarity. Was God making a mistake? No. It's just like, you know, the way he does things and so on. Now, another thing. God took the spirit of that was upon Moses and put it upon 70 other people to help him out, right? Thank God for his father-in-law, right? You can't tell him, right? He listened, right? But to wear him out, you know? It could be work of God. In the New Testament too, there was that Epaphras at all who was walking himself to death, right? You know, for the work of the gospel and so on. Then father-in-law said, look, come on, what do you appoint? You know, I mean, heads of hundreds, heads of fifties and so on, and of whatever, and of ten, so that they report to you, right? You know, so what we are saying is this. So God through the spirit that was upon Moses, put upon 70 elders. Numbers 11:17 says so. The same manner, God through the spirit that was upon Elisha, and put it upon Elisha. Double portion, right? 1 Kings 2:15. Similarity between their ministries, the most powerful prophets in the Old Testament and so on. And we know that the Spirit of God was upon Moses in such power that his eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated at the advanced age of 120 years. Deuteronomy 34:7. Would that similar thing with Elijah? Of course, yes. Elijah also seemed to possess supernatural, vitality, which enabled him, like I said before, to perform physical feats that would have been otherwise impossible. Because we read in 1 Kings about 18:45-46, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was upon Elijah. See that? And he gathered up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. All the parallels, you know, between the two prophets and so on, that, you know, where the supernatural was manifest in the life of both men, the supernatural power of God. Even as they leave this world, something happened to each of them supernatural that they leave this world. Supernatural occurrences between of them. We know of Elijah by translation, right? 1 Kings 3:11, and it came to pass. As they still were on, meaning himself and Elijah, and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up, but Elijah went to heaven. What supernatural thing occurred to Moses when he left this world? It's in the Bible too. Moses, by a most unique funeral, he had a most, like no other one in the whole wide world, up to today, you know, a most unique funeral. God buried him himself, you know. That's in Deuteronomy 34 verse 5. So Moses, the servant of the law, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the law. And he, in the Lord, you know, buried him. Unique funeral as he entered this world, you know. As well as that, you know. Not only that, you know, buried in the valley, in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. But no man knows of his sepulchre unto this day. And later, you know, the Lord raised him up again. See? That is in Jude verse 9, right? Yet Michael, the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, does not bring against him a raging accusation, but said the Lord rebuked thee. That was a contention. But, I mean, Satan lost anyway. They call God raised up Moses. Praise God. So we know that. So they leave this world supernaturally, you know, in the parallel. One by translation, the other one by that and resurrection, whatever the Lord did into him in India, supernaturally anyway. And at Sinai, you see, Elijah listened to the still small voice, right? In 1 Kings, I think I read that before. So, and, you know, the earthquake, the fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, like I said before. So, and here is a great lesson for us today, you know, taking notes from Elijah. If we will enter into the ministry of Elijah, we must listen, amen? We must listen as the prophet Elijah always did, you know, for the still small voice of God. We must draw apart from the noise and the clamor of this busy world if we are to make sure we do not miss it, you know. That is an example for us. This thing we are reading for an example, right? An admonition. That through the scripture we also have hope and example for us and so on, you know. Has to be so. Nothing will substitute in our Christian life for the waiting for and the listening to the voice of God. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Nothing will substitute, no shortcut. You know, we're going to be taking that journey if you don't begin to do these things. Praise the Lord. Listening and nothing can take this of these two things. Listening to the Lord and waiting on the Lord, you know. So at Sinai, that's the month of God, Moses interceded for Israel after he had made the golden calves, you know, and broken the covenant. The same way in Elijah's day, Israel had again back, you know, they had broken the covenant. That's in 1 Kings 19:14. That's good to read it. So, you know, and also they make Jeroboam, not Jeroboam too, make calf, you know, of gold, 1 Kings 12:28. So we see the idea, parallel and similarities and so on. But both Moses and Elijah saved their generations by standing in the gap between God and the people. As God gave Moses a commission at Mount Sinai, the same month of God, so he gave Elijah a commission too, you know. But Elijah's commission was such that in the end, you know, will purge Israel of the wicked regime that had defiled the land. The commission included many things, and I'll read them because it's important. The anointing of Elisha, another successor, right? And that is all written in 1 Kings 19:15. And the Lord had a commission. And the Lord said unto him, Go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. And Jehu, the son of Nimshi, shall thou anointed to be king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel Meshelaya, shall thou anoint to be prophet in that room. That was the commission that God gave him. Verse 17 says, and it shall come to pass that he that escaped the sword of Hazael shall Jehu slay, and him that escaped from the sword of Jehu shall Elisha slay. So we see the parallel in there and second verse, you know. So now here is rallied up tonight. It's kind of a strange, you know, subject, Lord, the man of God. It has a spiritual connotation for us in the church age. Now, but for this it is, as God let Elijah go through a valley experience, so God let most of his children go through some fiery trial. That is true. You know, God, but today we know that already. You know, so Elijah's sins, we go through fiery trial. So God will allow most of us to go through that. What would we learn? Men must learn to stand the test if they are to have a part in the eternal world to come, you know, the test and so on. 2 Timothy 2:12 tells us this. It says this, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Praise the Lord. That simple, come in, that simple. Yes. We're not going to suffer for nothing. You know, we're going to reign with him. God must have men that he can depend on, who will not panic in the day of adversity. But we say, if in the day of adversity and so on, I think you say your strength is small. I know that, you know. Praise the Lord. Well, yeah, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. That's right. So anyway, so we notice that as India, you know. So men must be they must be men that God's people can rally to when the hour of trouble and distress comes upon this one, and the many of them to come as in this age you are living in now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Even this trial and tribulation and so on, we rally together God's children, amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. What happened in the early church, the persecution, right? It was so terrible. They don't have everything in common, right? That's right. The persecution put them together, you know? And they have things in common. And I don't see that's not even happening at the end of the age. Although when that thing was gone, then they don't do that anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, so we see that one right there. You know, because people make a doctrine out of that too, you know? You know, anyway, let me do that one alone. So, we need not be in Elijah's state of mind. We have to take caution now. When he fled from Jezebel, we don't have to have that kind of mind, knowing assuredly that the Lord is at hand, amen? Amen. That was true to us. We don't have to be like that. Praise the Lord. You know, we need not be discouraged for any reason, yes? Including when someone has dealt ill with us. Jezebel dealt with him and so on, and look at what he went through and so on. We need not to be that way, you know. We must not allow the world's slow stain to work upon us. When we are not washing, the world's slow stain will come upon us. The stain of this, stain of that from the world, we have to be watchful. Praise the Lord. See? We watchful, especially as we are looking for the coming of the Lord. We must take extra caution. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So, and not only that, we must not lose the sparkle. Amen? No matter what we are going through, don't lose the sparkle now. And we must not lose the zest of life. So we say, now let's now die. No. We don't say that. Praise God. So, like Elijah was doing, we are not to do that. Don't lose the zest for life, no matter what pressure comes onto us, you know. We must keep the inspiration, get it, and remain inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen? See? Walk in the Spirit and so on, that's in the Bible tells us and so on. And reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:18. Praise the Lord. That's how you must take any kind of a suffering, any kind of temptation, any kind of a trial. Let's look at Romans 8:18. That's what it says, you know. So no matter what, maybe another place, they only for a moment, you know, all these things and so on. Now, soon, we find that even in our darkest hour, as we wait upon the Lord, light will begin to dawn. Amen? No matter how dark it may be around us, light will begin, as you stand your ground and get on the door and hold of the Lord, light will begin to dawn, you know, for his children and so on. So we know, before Elijah went to Horeb, he was a man of faith, quite all right, yes? But he needed the experience of the month, you know? The month of God, right? He needed the month, of God experience. Even though he already has it and so on, God allowed all those things that will give him the month of God experience, right? When he left Horeb, he was not the same again anymore, not the same man. Thereafter, never again did fear come into his heart. See? And never again was he afraid of the face of any man. Never again did he run from Jezebel or any other person whatsoever after the mountain experience with God, right? So it is then, in Confucius 9, so simple, and but it's, I think we need this. So it is that those who share with Elijah enter into that experience of dominion and faith must also be willing to take time to have an experience on the mount of God. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. They must be prepared. There's no shortcut to this thing and so on. Where the mount of God is where the Elijah things are born. Amen? Praise the Lord. No shortcut to it. Actually, that's where the Elijah things are born, at the mount of God. Now, they are not to go to Mount Sinai or to Mount Horeb. No, theory, not really. In our time, that means what the apostle wrote by in Philippians 3:14, pressing towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's another way of doing it. Praise the Lord Jesus. That high mark. You know, high calling of God. Pressing for that mark. The prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So don't forget now, spiritually speaking, the mouth of God is where the Elijah things are born. That's where we belong, amen? Praise to the Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Your word, every passage of your word is relevant to your people. It's relevant in all ages. In the name of the Lord. So we worship you, Lord. You will permit us to be in the valley once in a while. But you must climb up to the mount of God to have that mountain experience of God where the other things are born. Lord, and we know this is the hour now. Lord, know for the manifestation of the sons of God. The whole creation, they are travailing and waiting in peace together until now, waiting for this time. Now, Lord, let us be wide awake in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know in the 25th chapter of Matthew, it was the bride that gave the call. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. It was the bride. How can the bride be sleeping? Not even the wife were awake, but it was the bride. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we pray tonight, Lord, that you continue to be among them who are really watching, never sleeping at all, watching for the slightest step of the bridegroom coming. We know of it and make the shout, behold the bridegroom coming. In the mighty name of Jesus. Those who still sleep in the night, right? But we are not of the night. We are of the day. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that day will not come upon us on our way out. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you, Lord, what you have done in our generation, the most prophetical generation, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our eyes have seen those, and our hearts have heard what kings and so forth, and prophets, decided that they should know and see. What they giving to them? Not of him that's running, not of him that's willing. So God has shown mercy. We haven't earned it, Lord. It is just your providence in our life to live in this age. Help us not to take it for granted.
Amen.
Let's not be of them. We never knew the day of their visitation, Lord. Heaven, in the name of the Lord Jesus, let us be wise awake and Lord God, oh God, and pressing on, Lord, for that mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
We thank you for reading your word tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, our Lord, we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.